Good morning. Y'all a fine-looking bunch this morning, and lots of people up front. You kind of hardly even know you're in an Adventist church because you're all kind of up front. That's good news. Sherry wanted me to mention that there's a potluck afterwards, a luncheon, fellowship luncheon for the visitors and for whomever wants to attend, so don't forget that. Also, we hope to get the fire system completely up and running in a couple days. Wednesday, we have an appointment. They're coming here, so after that, we'll let you folks know, and hopefully everything will be fixed back up to snuff. So we can resume then a normal schedule. I know you're all interested in getting back to a normal program. We probably could stop right here. We had a blessed morning, at least I have had, in Sabbath school, and the music, and the story, and all. So, but just give me about 25 minutes to talk about the new pastor, and then we'll get you out of here. You know, it's always dangerous whenever you're in class. The professor who stands between you and lunch is always in danger of being trampled sometime around noon. So I hope I don't suffer. Of course, the door's that way, so I'm safe, but that's good. All right, so let's bow our heads for prayer first before we get into the sermon. So, our Heavenly Father, we come here today to listen to your word and to worship you and to celebrate you and praise you. And may the thoughts and the words be your thoughts and your words. And may we understand what you would have us to hear about a new pastor coming to Brookings. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So it's entitled The Care and Feeding of a New Pastor. I thought about calling it, there's a new sheepdog in town, a new head sheepdog in town, but I thought that might be somewhat sacrilegious or flippant. But as you know, Pastor Schultz, when he left, he does not want to be called the shepherd. He wanted to be called the head sheepdog. So that didn't come from me, it came from a former pastor. Because the good shepherd is Jesus Christ, as we learned about just in the music, just a few minutes ago. The good shepherd is Jesus. So, but if you want to call the pastor the shepherd, that's okay. That is biblical. But we know that the Lord is the good shepherd in John 10:11. He's the head of the church. Colossians 1:18, I don't need to read that, but he is the head of the church. The pastor is here in a functionary position less than the good shepherd. So the Christ is the head of the church. Now, we have had no pastor for the past, 10 months, 11 months or so? And I have been blessed to see the community of believers here in Brookings pull together. Attendance continues, the programs continue. And it's been a blessing to see everybody sort of pulled together. But that was then, and that chapter is closing, and a new chapter is opening.
I just want to say, Ellen White said, in the last days we will press together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, certainly is true. That's true. So I want to thank you all for participating in the body of Christ while we've had no pastor. But we're going to have a new pastor, and he's going to have some new ideas. He's going to present some new leadership. So we're going to have to look forward to that. Now, if you happen to be a visitor, I see a couple of visitors here, you're going to be listening and hearing some sort of inside information in the Brookings Church. But I think some of the ideas of how to treat a new pastor apply to treating your old pastor and the clergy in general. So I think you can take that back home to your home church and apply those lessons or these lessons there. So Ben Franklin once wrote, he said, only certain things in life are death and taxes. We certainly know that's true. But I think the third thing is, the only thing for certain is change. Change is inevitable. People respond to change in different ways. You may be looking forward to a new pastor. You may have some concerns or maybe even some fears that make you nervous, anxious. It can be stressful for the members. So we're going to take a few moments to plan about how we can treat and greet our new pastor. Expectations are high, but nobody is perfect, so keep that in mind. Now, we did follow the process to get the proper pastor. In fact, Jeremiah 3:15 says, I will give you your pastors. Who's giving us the pastors?
The Lord.
The Lord's speaking there. According to mine heart, the Lord is speaking, mine heart, not according to my heart or your heart, but according to mine heart, the Lord's heart. And he will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, I did have in your handout there, there's like seven things that a pastor does. We're going to skip those because lunch is coming and I don't want to hold you up. But you can read those, and those came, I'm sure, off a sanctified internet source, but I think they really are applicable to what a pastor does. So you can just read those on your own time, along with those verses that those came from, those little verses up on top, that's where the 7 points came out of. So we have the process. We know it's according to thine heart or the Lord's heart, because you prayed, I prayed, the committee certainly prayed, the pastor prayed, Barry Kimbrough prayed, the Oregon Conference prayed, and God answered. And the pastor here was appointed by God and hired by the Oregon Conference to be our pastor. So we're going to show appreciation for this decision and look forward with great anticipation to the pastor when he comes, right?
Amen.
All right. So why talk about the care and feeding of the pastor? After all, we just need to be nice, right? And just say nice things to welcome him and everything will be fine. Well, Dan Linrud told me a story one time when he was here with the previous search committee that he was a new pastor early in his ministry. And as he walked in the front door, an elder, a gentleman, opened the door for him and informed Pastor Linrud that he did not want him here. He did not vote for him to come to the church. And the pastor, Linrud, was taken back and he says, well, did you pray? Did you pray for the new pastor? Yes, he says. Did your church pray for a new pastor? Yes, we did. He said, well, I prayed. So if we all prayed and I'm here, isn't this God's will? Are you going against God's will? Well, long story short, this gentleman turned around, saw the light, and became one of Pastor Linrud's supporters in the church. So let's not do that. That's an example of what not to do. So, you know, this is a new relationship. All new relationships have a beginning and hopefully mature. We need a good start, and we can contribute to that good start and the good beginning for this church and for the new pastor. Now, he and his family are new to us, obviously. It's the beginning of this new relationship. And when a relationship is in its infancy, it needs to be nurtured and grow. Now, you see, he does not know us. Now, we don't know him either, but he does not know us. He doesn't know our history. He doesn't know our victories, our successes. He doesn't know our trials and squabbles. He doesn't know the times we prayed together and then we cried together. We married and we buried. We welcome new babes and we welcome new babes in Christ. He doesn't know any of our history. And that's not all bad, because our history is our history. But it'll take time for him to learn about us and grow in this relationship. And as I mentioned, we're new to him as well. And remember that in construction and auto racing and relationships, where you start often determines where you end up. So let's get off on the right foot and get a good start. Now, you know, these rules I'm going to tell you, I call them rules. I changed them from rules to principles because rules sounded awful like you're in school. But so they're more principles, but I kind of thought of them as rules initially. But they might seem a bit parental. You know, they might say, you don't need to tell me to be nice to the pastor. Well, hope that's true. But after all, this is a volunteer organization, and you're here if you want to be here, and you leave if you don't want to be here. So we need to work together and be friends and be a part of the body of Christ. Because all too often we're human, and I forget, you forget, and sadly to say, I probably have treated the pastor or said some things about a pastor, Pastor Ball sitting over there, and not about him, of course, but that, you know, I shouldn't have said or acted the way I shouldn't have acted. So this is for me as well as anybody else. So I'm saying things that may not need to be spoken, but I'm going to speak them anyway, and you take them to heart as you see fit. All right. I got 12 of them. They're in your handout. And number one, welcome the pastor warmly. Don't greet him at the door like Linwood said, I don't want you here, and growl at him. Treat him warmly. Treat him kindly. God sent Pastor Kimbrough to us to be our pastor. And remember, John 13:35 says, for they shall know we are Christians by our love. Now, if we don't have love for our pastor, I think we're in trouble. So they'll know that we are his disciples by how we treat our pastor warmly and kindly. Number two, give him a chance. Don't compare him to your former pastor or to any other pastor. He's not coming to take the previous pastor's place. He's going to be his own pastor with his new church. No one can take the place of the previous pastor. You know, 1 Corinthians 3, Paul talks about sectarianism in the church. People were complaining or arguing, well, I was baptized by Apollo, or I was baptized by this guy or that guy. And Paul then says, thank goodness I didn't baptize any of you. And then he says, well, maybe except one. And then he says, well, maybe others, I forgot. But the point is, he doesn't want to be compared to somebody else. The pastor is his own man. So give him a chance. He brings unique gifts and brings unique talents, and he's ordained to be our minister. Isaiah 43:18-19 says about this kind of an issue, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do new things. Now it springs forth, and you do not perceive it. So he's going to do new things. Don't consider the times of the old. We're going to be doing some new things. So give him a chance. He's not your old pastor. He's his own man. He's God's man. Number three, give him time. I think this is really important. Give him some time. He's really busy right now, packing and wrapping business up, and he's not thinking a lot about us, although we've been in communication with him. But give him some time. He's got to get time to get his feet on the ground. Don't rush at him with 11 months of pent-up ideas or concerns. We'll get to that in due time. Give him some time. And then respect his personal time also. He'll have time off. Respect that. Don't call him in the middle of the night unless you've got an emergency. Respect his private time. Consider him and his family. They need downtime because burnout can be a real issue for pastors. So respect the new pastor's time. Number four, give him grace. What do we mean by that? Well, he's not going to be perfect. Don't expect the pastor to be perfect. And don't be surprised if he isn't perfect, at least in your eyes, because he's not going to be perfect and be all things to all people. He's going to stumble, at least in some people's eyes. And there's only been one perfect pastor, the Good Shepherd, and they crucified him. So give the pastor grace. Don't expect him to be perfect. Now, give him space. Now, what do I mean by that? Give him space. Well, don't put his life under the microscope. Him and his family, they're their own people. They do their own things. They have their own preferences. Of course, he is called to live to a certain standard of godliness, and we expect that, to be led by example. But don't expect him to do things the way you would. Cut the man some slack. In the matter of obedience, he's responsible only to God. In matters that are indifferent, he's allowed liberty. And Augustine of Hippo said that famous phrase, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. So give him some space. Don't put him under a microscope. Number six, it's a positive one, says, encourage your pastor. Pray for him. I hope you're doing that now. Pray for him and pray with him when he gets here.
Amen.
Sometimes it's easy to pray or criticize behind the pastor's back, but have you prayed for him as much as you've criticized him? You know, when Peter was in a difficult spot, people prayed for him. He was in prison, I believe, in front of a Herod had wanting to execute him because it was popular with the Jews, and they all prayed for him. Acts 12:5, it says, the church was earnestly praying to God for him, referring to Peter, and God answered with a miracle of deliverance from the prison. So pray for your pastor, because God answers prayer even for pastors. So encourage him, pray for him. Express your appreciation for his sermons. If you had a good sermon, tell him he had a good sermon. Show appreciation. He'd like some feedback, I'm sure. Tell him if you wish to hear a sermon about a specific subject. The pastor is always interested in getting sermon material, sermon illustrations, or new ideas, and he wants to preach the sermon that you want and need to hear. So feedback on his sermons and suggestions are important. So also, number 7, it says, share with Pastor Kimbrough. Share with him how God is leading in your life, how God's leading in this church. Tell him interesting stories or give him scripture or items that you may find of spiritual interest. Give those to him. Share with him. Tell him if you want to have a specific sermon, share that with him. Now, number 8 is important. Care for his wife. Care for his wife. His wife is not employed by the church. This is not a buy one, get one free situation. Now, we do expect, of course, that pastors' wives are involved in the church. We've had that many times in the past, but they are not employed by the church, but they are part of the ministry, and I'm sure she will be part of the ministry also. We hear she's a good musician. We expect her to be involved, but care for his wife. And can bear in mind also that the husband is supposed to care for his wife. So don't be surprised if he cares for his wife. We must also care for his wife and protect his wife while he is here. The same goes for number 9, care for his kids. Now don't hold the kids to a higher standard. They're children. They're various ages. I forget their ages. We've seen their pictures. They're from school age to teenagers. So don't expect anything out of the kids except what you would expect out of all the kids. Don't judge his children. They need to be loved and respected like any other child of God or any other children that we might have. Don't judge his children. Number 10, this is important. I take this kind of personal. Number 10 says, don't expect him to read your mind. All right? He's not going to know intuitively about the problems in your life or why you come to church or why you stay home. Many times ministers are accused of being insensitive or unloving because they failed in a certain situation to understand what was going on. They did not read the people's mind. People stay away from a church, they badmouth the pastor, and the pastor doesn't know anything is wrong. Don't be that parishioner. Talk to the pastor. If you're having a problem, talk to him. If something's wrong, talk to him. If you're in the hospital or your relative's in the hospital, you want a pastoral visit, talk to him. He may not even know you're in the hospital. Sometimes we hear criticism, well, he didn't see me in the hospital. Did we tell the pastor that person was in the hospital? Did we ask for a hospital visit? Let's do that. Let's not expect him to read our mind. Speak up and have mercy on the guy, for Pete's sake. Now, number 11 is, if you differ from the pastor or feel that he is off base or he has wronged somebody, let's be sure we follow Matthew 18. This requires us that we go directly to the pastor and explain our concerns. And hopefully when you do that, you will have had prayer for the pastor and you'll be going in the proper spirit. But don't go behind his back. Don't call the OC about the pastor without checking with him first. Let him know privately if he's offended you. Pray with him and give him a chance to explain or make it right. So follow Matthew 18, number 11. Number 12 is follow his leadership. There's 5 points here, so bear with me. But first of all, don't push your private agenda. We all have ideas. What things should be, how things should be, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. This is the body of Christ. Prayerfully consider your actions. We all have different talents. We'll all have opportunities to be involved in the planning and execution of the programs and initiatives in the church. But don't push your private agenda. You know, his leadership is a spiritual gift. Romans 12:8 talks about spiritual gifts. It says, the one who extorts, in his exhorts, the one who contributes in generosity, and the one who leads with zeal. So leadership is a spiritual gift, and our pastor has this spiritual gift, as many of us do in church. We have leadership gifts, but let's use them appropriately and understand that the pastor has a leadership gift. Now, I know things don't always go the way you want them to go. They don't always go the way things I want them to go. We don't always agree. We don't always agree on the programs or the methods, and that's okay. But let's stay united towards a common goal. The fourth point on this is if you want to be involved in leadership, when you're asked by the nominating committee, just say yes. Now, we're going to have the nominating committee coming up here in the next few weeks or months. And when they ask you if you want to be part of the church and have influence in how things go, say yes when the nominating committee calls. Get involved. Use your unique talents and gifts in that way. So the last point is, let him lead. But on the other hand, don't just sit back in the pew. You know, one of the dangers of having a pastor is that we hand all the responsibility of all the leadership and all the doing over to the pastor. The Oregon Conference expresses this themselves. They say that they are all too guilty of having the pastors lead, and we all just sit back in the bus while the head bus driver drives the bus, and we just sit there. So don't just sit in the pew, but ask, how can I help, and get involved. So those are the 12 things that came to mind, or that I discovered with a bit of reading and studying. You may have more. You may have things that you should do or that I haven't mentioned, or maybe what I've said you don't think is appropriate. So be it. But above all, remember to treat him well, because he is the pastor that God has given us. Now, I didn't speak much about the pastor's responsibilities. They're in your hand out there. But Pastor Kimbrough is keenly aware of his responsibilities and his responsibilities as a pastor. And in this, he is accountable to God to treat the parishioners right and the congregation right. He understands that. And as far as our part, we, the Brookings Church, are accountable to how we treat the new pastor. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be doing some planning about the new pastor. We haven't yet firmed it up. We've got a social committee that's working on some ideas and timing. But he's going to come sometime, I don't know when, the 8th or the 15th. I don't know, Jim and Bob, I asked you to preach one of those days. But we got to be a little flexible because I don't know when he's actually going to pull into town. We may need to have somebody else to preach the 15th. But he's going to come somewhere in the middle of September. Right. Todd may know more about that than I, and Jim may also. But he's going to show up, and the day he shows up, we're going to have, of course, a potluck, a welcome dinner for him here. But there is also a general plan that we want to have something bigger than that in the not-too-distant future after he gets here, gets his feet on the ground, and gets sort of settled in. Because we want to be sure that this community and the believers in this church and those that are connected to the church, former members, friends of the church, know we have a new pastor, so we're going to have some sort of party, for lack of a better word, you know, where we announce he's coming, the whole community can come, and we can sort of have a big welcome get-together. It's sort of like having a soft opening when he just comes and we have a little party for him, but then we want to have a sort of a grand opening where we're going to get some splash in the community. So think about inviting all of your friends and families, former members, those that are interested or have been interested in the church, maybe they've come once in a while, they've drifted off. Pray for them, invite them back when the timing is right, get them back. Well, the time is right now, but we're going to have a special day when they can all come and meet the new pastor, because we have a chance. You know, when you get a new pastor, you get a little bump in attendance. People check out the new pastor, right? People show up, the new guy is gone, and the old guy's gone, the new guy's here, and we may get a little bump in attendance. Don't ignore those people. Be sure we welcome them in and try to show them God's love.
Amen.
So we have a chance to sort of move the work of God forward in Brookings. So the final point is really to remember to be kind to the pastor. He is the head sheepdog. If you want to call him the shepherd, that's fine. But Christ is the head of the church. And Pastor Kimbrough is the man, the pastor, that God has chosen at this time to be our pastor. We all have great expectations and hopes, and rightly so. Let things get started on the right foot, and remember that God has God's leading, and the best is yet to come.
Amen.
Are we on up there? Good. I was waiting to see if you'd take my name in vain. There's nothing more important than singing. We're going to sing our hearts out in heaven. We might as well start singing our hearts out here. And just remember, I mentioned it many times, this is a very special time to welcome a new pastor. Blessed be the tie that binds. And that's the Holy Spirit, you know. Shall we stand before our Maker?
Our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to
that where above, isn't that neat?
Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows a sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet us there.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful again for the Sabbath day and meeting together in your presence. And as we leave, maybe take you with us in our hearts and be beacons of light in this community and bring us all back together next week. And between now and then, may we remember Pastor Kimbrough and this Amen. Church in prayer so that we can have a better experience and go on to bigger and better things than we have now. We pray all of these things in Christ's blessed name. Amen.
Amen.
You did well.